Chapter 1. Residue. The wind whipping around the penthouse balcony was biting, carrying the metallic scent of the city below, ozone, exhaust, and the invisible hum of millions of lives moving in the dark. But up here, 70 stories above the concrete, the air smelled different. It smelled of copper. It smelled of death. Maximilian Voss stood with his back to the railing, his silhouette cutting a sharp, imposing figure against the skyline of New York. His chest heaved with the slow, controlled rhythm of a predator coming down from the hunt, but his ice-blue eyes were fixed entirely on me. "And no one will ever touch you again," he had said, the vow hanging heavy in the space between us. "Unless I say so." I shivered, the adrenaline that had sustained me through the carnage of the obsidian gala finally draining away, leaving behind a hollow, aching cold. My knees felt like water. The black gown I wore, the armor I had donned to execute a man, felt suddenly heavy, stiff with dried blood that wasn't mine. Some of it belonged to Benedict Farlow. Some of it belonged to the guards Max had slaughtered to get to me. Max's gaze dropped from my eyes to my bare shoulder, where a smear of crimson marred the pale skin. His jaw tightened, a muscle feathering beneath the stubble that had begun to shadow his face. He looked at the stain not with disgust, but with a profound, vibrating offense. It was a violation, dirt on his altar. He took a step toward me, reaching out. His hand, usually so steady, trembled almost imperceptibly, not from fear, never from fear, but from the sheer force of the compulsion warring within him. He was a man who sanitized his hands after shaking hands with senators. He was a man who lived in a glass cage to keep the filth of the world at bay. And now he was covered in it. "And so was I, you're shaking," he said, his voice rough, like gravel grinding under a boot. "I'm cold," I lied. I wasn't cold. I was terrified and exhilarated and shattered all at once. I had just watched the man who raised me die. I had helped kill him. Max didn't accept the lie, nor did he challenge it. He simply acted. He closed the distance, his movements abrupt, and scooped me up into his arms. I gasped, instinctively clutching at the lapels of his ruined tuxedo jacket. The wool was damp and sticky. He didn't flinch. He carried me inside, the glass doors sliding shut behind us with a pneumatic hiss that sealed out the wind, the noise, and the city. The silence of the penthouse was deafening. It was usually a pristine sanctuary, a temple of white marble and chrome, but tonight our reflection in the darkened glass walls looked like a distortion. We were ghosts painted in red. Max didn't stop in the living area. He strode past the sprawling white sofas and the abstract sculptures, heading straight for the master suite.